You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. Why would God declare that He's going to totally destroy one nation on this earth physically? Why would He do that? Why would God have reason to do such a thing? What could cause Him to make such a prophecy? And it is one of the most ominous prophecies in all of the Bible that you need to understand, because it is going to impact you and your personal life. It's going to impact you, and you'll see that. But this nation sits astride one of the great sea gates of the world, and it's a part of Europe and a part of Asia. And it's something that geopolitically we really need to understand. And you don't see too much of that understanding today. But the nation of Turkey is in NATO. That's a North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And they have made a treaty with America and Europe. We've made that treaty together for protection, to protect the countries from the enemy, other enemy nations. And I mentioned last week that Turkey has been given some of our nuclear bombs, and they were designed to fit their airplanes. And all of that was done because, well, we're all members of NATO. But it is unusual when a country will take their bombs, their nuclear bombs, and put them in another country. That is also very risky and dangerous in oh so many ways. Now, we are supposed to have technical control of those nuclear bombs, but do we have real control? Or technically, let's say we're supposed to control them, but are we really? Are we really? I'm going to show you in a Bible prophecy that Turkey is going to betray America. Believe it or not, that is what is prophesied in your Bible. President Erdogan of Turkey has already allied himself with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, which is a terrorist organization that spawned Hamas and Al-Qaeda and has all kinds of jihadist networks around the world, including in America. So is this a good ally for America? He has publicly stated how he hates the Jews, our number one ally in the Middle East. But the real shocker is this, that nation of Turkey is going to face total disaster because of something that God wants you to understand, something that you need to understand. Turkey, not too long ago, had the Ottoman Empire. It started in 1517 and continued to 1917 for 400 years, or maybe a little more. And they allied themselves in World War I with Kaiser Wilhelm II. And of course, Germany lost that war to Britain and America, and Turkey lost its empire, a kind of a type of what's coming to the nation before this is over, because they allied themselves with Germany. But here's the kicker in this: they're going to ally themselves with Germany again against America and Britain. Now, that is prophesied in your Bible. And what does it portend for you and your family? What is all of this about spiritually and physically? If you look at Psalm 83, you'll see that Esau, or Edom, and I'll show you that's the same nation. Just Edom just means red soup. And for it's named that for a very good reason, as I'll show you in a moment. But it shows in Psalm 83 that they are allied with Asher, or Germany. Now, we have a reprint article on Psalm 83, and we'll send it to you if you don't understand that, and it will prove to you that Turkey is going to ally itself with Germany, not with America, and not with Britain, and not with a Jewish nation in the Middle East. Because of that alliance and Turkey's hatred for Britain and America and the Jews in the Middle East, God has a powerful prophecy against them. But they're going to do a lot of their dirty work that they have in mind. They're already doing it, as a matter of fact. But why would God inflict them so completely and totally? Well, Esau was the firstborn son of Isaac. And he had a twin brother, Jacob, who was born just after he was. So they are brothers. Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel, they are the brother of Esau, also born of Rebekah, Isaac's wife. And so they are brothers. Now, Jacob went on to have these 12 sons, or the 12 tribes of Israel. His name was changed to Israel. But God focuses on three of those nations in particular in this end time, because they're called the birthright nations and the scepter nation, which is Judah, or the Jews of the Middle East. And Esau, now we have Esau, but what is the modern name of Esau? Well, it's Turkey, and that's not all that difficult to prove. It's not that difficult. We talk about that and prove it in the United States and Britain in Prophecy, which we will give you for free. All of our literature is free. We also have a booklet on Obadiah that explains to you that it's a book about Esau, and it's dual. And it has a powerful duality that is absolutely critical, not only for this world and for Esau, but for the church of God as well. Critical to understand that. So we're going to be writing a booklet soon on how Turkey betrays America, and they are going to do it, and it's clear in Bible prophecy, and there's not a thing we can do to stop it, and we need to understand that. But God punishes Esau for betraying his own brother. Esau anciently received the birthright blessing, but he rejected that birthright. It's talked about in the New Testament as well as the Old. Hebrews 12 verses 14 through 17 talks about him giving up that birthright for a morsel of food, a bowl of soup. That's what it all boiled down to. But the birthright is what? Well, it's all the wealth and the power that America and Britain have had for over 200 years to the very present. All that wealth and power would have gone to Esau if he hadn't rejected the birthright. But he did. And he sold it for, well, a bowl of soup. And here we have this same nation in modern times that have our nuclear bombs, and they have been a very unstable alliance, to say the least, for America and Britain. And they certainly are one right now. So that betrayal, you see, it ought to concern us, since they have our nuclear bombs and they're going to betray us. What does that mean for you and for Britain, the people of Britain, the people of America, and the people of the Jewish nation in the Middle East? God says in Obadiah 13 and 14, this book about Esau or Turkey, as well as some spiritual Edomites or spiritual people with that Esau attitude. But it says that there that Turkey is at the crossway. What does that mean? Well, it means the crossroads of the world. We have to look at this geopolitically and try to get the vision here of what it means. This is a giant gate, sea gate, in the Bosphorus at the north of Turkey and the Dardanelles at the south of Turkey. and especially controlled by European Turkey. And look, you have to understand what this all means. If you don't have these gateways, and if you don't have, for example, if Russia, after winning all that power in World War II, was not able to come through the Bosphorus and the Dardanelles out into the Mediterranean for world trade, they could never have sustained their world power. It's about world power. And that is something we don't seem to understand in America and Britain. Britain has already lost out in that part of the world. They used to control that part of the world, and that's when they were a world power. But they've lost it and all that power with it. And America is going the same direction. And it's almost there. How much influence do you think we have in that part? How much geopolitical influence, let's say, do we have in the crossroads of the world and in the Middle East and that surrounding area? How much influence does America have? It's all about world power. You need to read the history books and realize that if you lose out in that area, you lose everything, or potentially so anyhow. That's a critical seagate of this world, and it is controlled right now by Turkey, but only because the U.S. has backed and supported them and kept it from Russia. They would have taken it if we hadn't helped Turkey. But again, you can have all kinds of space age power and jet planes and all of that, all kinds of technology and airplanes. But look, it's still about world trade, which is transported mainly by ships as we get those raw materials and minerals from the soil. They have to be shipped mainly by large ships. And that's where the seagate, that crossroads of the world, comes in. Because all of those goods from Russia flow right through there out into the Mediterranean and around the world. Russia has that warm sea outlet there, and it means everything to their stature in the world and their power in this world. They have a naval base in Syria. Why would they want to be in Syria? Well, because they want to control the crossroads of the world. They want to control the Middle East. They want to put themselves in a position where they can bring down other powers. That's what it's all about. Now again, Russia, without that, would not be a world power. But look, you have, as it says in Genesis 25 and verse 23, that Rebekah had two nations in her womb. Two nations. That's verse 23 of Genesis 25. And those two nations were Jacob and Esau. And it says there that they were two manner of people, two totally different nations or distinct national types. And there was a conflict between those two sons from the beginning, and it's continued all the way to this end. Real conflict, even though there were little peace treaties along the way, they still continually had these conflicts. So who are these nations? Well, the 12 tribes of Israel, or Jacob. This end time talks about Jacob's trouble. Well, who is Jacob in this end time? It's God says he's going to have a lot of trouble. We must know who he is. And who are those 12 sons? And in particular, three of them that God singles out because they received such special blessings and are going to be held accountable for those. And of course, Esau was the elder brother of Jacob. Now look, God gives us these names because he expects us to know them, because if we don't know those who those names are today, those ancient names, who they are in modern times, we can't understand Bible prophecy. You can't understand it. People seem mystified by this, but that's what Christ talked about when he said we have to live by every word of God. Every word. And believe every word of it. The Old and the New Testament was what he was talking about. Well, look, let me just read Genesis 25 and verse 29, where it says, "And Jacob sod pottage," or boiled porridge, as Fenton's translation says, "and Esau came from the field, and he was faint, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom." This is Esau, and his name was called Edom because Edom means literally red soup. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And God says there is a spiritual church today in this end time who did the same thing, sold their spiritual birthright for a bowl of soup. At least 50% of them did. That's something serious to think about. And you can go on in verses 27 through 34, and he sold his birthright, and he says, because he despised that birthright. And again, that birthright is all the wealth and power that America and Britain have had for over 200 years, and he rejected it. And God didn't take that lightly. Again, it's mentioned in the Old and the New Testament, so it's in both of those books, of both parts of the Bible. So God expects us to understand these nations. Look, you can even go and you can read Genesis 49 and verse 1, where Jacob called all of his sons together and he said, now I'm going to show you what's going to happen to you in the latter days. And none of them were called by their modern names. Who are those 12 sons? I mean, that's the first book of the Bible. And God says, now here's what's going to happen to you sons, my 12 sons, in the latter days of all things. How can we not understand who those sons are today in the latter days? We must know, or we don't understand Bible prophecy. We don't understand it. So again, we have to remember that Edom is also the same as Esau. It's just in one verse there, it gives him both of those names because God calls him what he did. He just sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Now I want to show you, go to this book very quickly in Obadiah about Esau, about Turkey today. Now that's what it's about physically. And it's called The Vision of Obadiah. And it's a jaw you can see in context just before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Verse 1 says, "The vision of Obadiah, thus says the Eternal God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Eternal, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise you and let us go up against her in battle." So here is this rumor, actually should be a report or a prophecy from God. In the end time, God will reveal the book of Obadiah. That's what he's talking about. That's the report. And he'll show us what it means. I mean, this has that ominous portent of what's going to happen to Esau and to Jacob as well in these latter days. It's an end time book. You can see that by the context, but it tells us that there will be somebody revealing of this message, or revealing God revealing it through them, I should say. Somebody will have this message and proclaim it for God because God promised it would be done. It has to be done. Where is it in these latter days? Can you prove that? And do you believe God? Do I believe God? Do we live by every word of God the way Christ said we must? Or do we just selectively believe what we want? These are hard questions that we must answer if we're going to be protected by God. Where is God's message? Well, you can see that Edom or Esau has a history of betraying the nations of Jacob or Israel. I wrote in the Obadiah booklet, the historian Josephus records that 20,000 Edomites were accepted as defenders of Jerusalem in AD 70. Once inside, they betrayed the Jews by robbing and killing them, their own brothers. Their own brothers. This is getting to the heart and core of why God is going to blot out that name of Turkey forever and not even have a nation named that in the world tomorrow. It will have another name, a new name. Well, if they even have a nation, I don't quite know all the details there because God doesn't explain them all. But notice verse 5, if these came to you, if robbers by night, how are you cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some grapes? I mean, if you go, somebody goes in and picks the grapes, well, they always leave a few, but there aren't any left in this analogy, in this grape metaphor. There aren't any left. And Jeremiah 49 says, Esau, he is not. That is in verse 10. He is not. He's just going to be obliterated. And God talks about them being deceived. In verse 9, he talks about Otiman, which could very easily be where they got the name Ottoman Empire, Otiman, the grandson of Esau. And he said, it says there, every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. And then verse 10, for your violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. Wow. I mean, God does hold us accountable for our sins, doesn't He? He says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of these things. I will hold people accountable for their sins. That's what He's saying here. And Obadiah was even as one of them, it says in verse 11. That is, he was allied with Germany and these other nations. He was as one of them. He wasn't a member. He tried to join the European Union, and it never worked out. And I think that tells you here that it was never intended to work out. He's just as one of them, but he's not a member. That's what that means. Notice this fascinating scripture, though, in verses 12 through 14. I'll just hit the highlights here. But it says, neither should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. That means the Jews. You shouldn't have rejoiced about that in the past or in the present, because the past is just a type of the present. And notice this fascinating statement. He says, neither should you have stood in the crossway or the crossroads of the world in that sea gate. You shouldn't have stood in that crossway that did remain in the day of distress. In other words, there were refugees from Jacob, and he killed them as they came through those sea gates. And God takes that personally, because these are His chosen people to do a job. Now, they haven't done it, and that's why they're being punished. But look, you have to realize that this crossroads is talking about a great sea gate that has everything to do with world trade and world power. If you don't understand this concept, then you're not going to be a world power. And I think most of our leaders in America and Britain and even in the Jewish nation don't understand what this is all about and why losing out in the Middle East and Turkey and the that area is so deadly dangerous. Look at the Soviet Union or the Russia today. But they came to power as the Soviet Union because they had that access to that sea gate. And Britain has gotten away from that access, and look what happened to them. And America's doing the same thing. And look what is happening to America. I mean, we have almost no influence in the Middle East. We don't understand the geopolitical picture of what is going on here. I mean, that's a geopolitical world island, Turkey is. And if we don't have them as an ally, let me tell you, we're going to suffer and suffer mightily. See, this is talking about rulership of the world. I mean, there are some evil nations out there that would like to destroy us, and I think we ought to be able to see that. I mean, after all, our oil imports mostly come from right through that Mediterranean Sea, right there where Turkey's Seagate comes right out into that sea. What's going to happen if we lose that? What's going to happen if we lose control of the Eastern Mediterranean? And we already really have. But there's another country that has not. And that's Germany. And they're moving in very, very fast. But look, it says in verse 15, the day of the Lord is near. It is near. But I want to show you one final scripture in where it says, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame to Esau. And then verse 21, and Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. This is all leading right into the return of Jesus Christ, and Saviors, those that get this message out today, are going to be right there with Jesus Christ, helping Him then to rule the whole world. That's where it's all leading. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For much more information on today's program, request our free booklet on Obadiah, our free reprint article, A Mysterious Prophecy, along with DVDs of today's Key of David program and a previous Key of David on the Psalm 83 Alliance. When you understand Psalm 83 in conjunction with the prophecies of Obadiah, you can begin to put together the geopolitical picture of what is going to happen in the Middle East. You'll see how events in that region will affect Europe, America, Britain, the nation of Israel, and ultimately the entire earth. The most exciting part of these prophecies is that they end with the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Make sure to request today's free literature along with the Trumpet magazine. The Trumpet will continue to give you in-depth Bible-based analysis of today's most relevant headlines. A one-year subscription is free upon request. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. 9